This is Solo Travel Talk. Your solo travel advisor is Astrid Clements.
Pop the cork. Wine tourism can be a very interesting and educational way to travel. Plus, it involves wine. Talk about travel enjoyment. On this episode of Solo Travel Talk, we are joined by Beth Costa of the Wine Road, Northern Sonoma County. Sonoma County is one of the most famed wine regions of California. With rolling hills, hundreds of wineries of various sizes, it is a wonderful place to take a wine tasting trip, even as a solo traveler. I'm producer Catherine O'Brien. We turn to Beth for her insights on wine tourism, we get her ideas what to do as a solo wine tourist, and we even get some specific tips for beautiful Sonoma County. Joining us on Solo Travel Talk is Beth Costa. She is the executive director for Wine Road Northern Sonoma County. She's also an award-winning podcaster herself with the Wine Road. Welcome to Solo Travel Talk, Beth.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here.
I know. I'm so excited. This is so great. You know, on Solo Travel Talk, we've talked many times about theme trips, having a theme to the travels that you're pursuing, and that can kind of be a good inspiration for getting people going. And I can't wait for you to tell us some of your thoughts about wine tourism and specifically, of course, introducing to some of our listeners, Sonoma County.
Great. Wine Road, Northern Sonoma County, we actually represent about 200 wineries. And Sonoma County is in Northern California. We're about an hour north of San Francisco. You know, our wineries range from really small producers that maybe make 400 or 500 cases a year to major wineries, you know, such as Kendall Jackson, that most people can find wherever they live in the country. So we have it all.
And even the world. One of the great things about podcasts is that we have listeners worldwide. And I know that Sonoma has really distinguished itself for the California wine scene, I guess, worldwide.
Oh, definitely. I've been here about 18 years with the Wine Road. And when I started, nobody knew where Sonoma County was. And that was really my story. And now that is no longer the story. Now everyone knows where Sonoma County is. So we've made some inroads.
And now, from your perspective, is wine tourism on the rise? Is this a growing trend?
I think it's a growing trend. And, you know, it has changed so much. I've been here, like I said, 18 years. And when I started, people would come to go wine tasting, and all you did really was you walk into a little tasting room and you sort of belly up to the bar and you tasted 4 or 5 different wines, and that was it. Maybe you wanted to buy a bottle. And I would say in the last 5 years, there's just been a huge change in what people expect when they come. So many wineries now do really elevated tasting experiences with food and wine pairings, and so many of them have like little mini trams and they can take you out in the vineyard, or they have organic gardens on their property along with their vineyards. And so there's just so many different types of tours that you can do now that really were not around, really, even just 5 years ago. It's really changed dramatically.
That sounds fun. Yeah, that sounds really good. And like, it sounds like the winemakers are taking the sort of the tour part very seriously.
They really are. And like everything, once a few start doing it, then others have to sort of elevate their game, and then they elevate their game. And yeah, you definitely can pick what it is that interests you. And when we're putting together tours and or itineraries and helping people, we try to mix it up so that maybe one stop is going to have a vineyard tour or a cave tour, and then one is going to have, you know, some beautiful gardens to wander through, and one is going to be just a really simple tasting, and then one might be a food pairing. So, you know, to me, a perfect day is a mix of all those different things.
Well, and I'm thinking right now, some of our listeners are going like, wait a minute, there's gardens, there's caves, there's wineries. I mean, that like so many options, so much variety.
It really is. And what's cool is, you know, these winemakers, they are farmers. And so many of them have actually pretty extensive gardens on their property. Some of them are beekeepers, you know, so there's a lot of different things you can go to. I've had guests where they've taken pictures at 4 or 5 wineries, and every picture is some farm animal, because like there's, you know, like this big hen house, and I'm thinking, oh my God, we're wine tasting and all the pictures are farm animals. So a lot of cool things to do. And the caves are fantastic. You know, if you come here in the summer when we have that streak of 100 degrees every day, then we try to put together a group of, you know, just go to the wineries that have caves. Then it's going to be nice and cool, and it's going to be a whole different trip. Whereas in the winter, if you come, we can put together a trip for you of all the taste rooms that have fireplaces. You can
cozy.
Go there.
We can go cozy or cave. We can go cozy or cave. Right. When you just said the word farmer a moment ago, something really popped in my head, and that is, and maybe I'm getting ahead of myself here, is intimidation. You know, sometimes I think people, when they think wine, they think they start thinking about, like, they have to have a sophisticated palate or they have to have a certain knowledge base. But, you know, wine is an agricultural product, too. For somebody who is kind of uninitiated, are wine tours a great way to learn about wine? Are people going to feel comfortable if they, you know, quote, don't know anything about wine? Can you speak a little bit about that?
I think that's absolutely true, and it's particularly true in Sonoma County. I mean, really, we are an agricultural-based community, and our winemakers really are farmers. Many of them really started out growing grapes and selling their grapes to bigger wineries. And then as years went by, or maybe their second generation or third generation, that's when they started making their own wines and started their own winery. So they are farmers, and they like nothing better than talking about what they're doing in the vineyard now and how many years ago certain vineyards were planted. Some of these vineyards around here are over 100 years old, and there are lots of multi-generational wineries. And so, you know, it's cool. You go there and they're going to tell you about their grandfather put in this vineyard in the 1900s and the early 1900s. And that's what they really want to talk about. So you really don't have to show up here knowing anything about wine. That's what they want to tell you. And they want to teach you, and they want you to be enthusiastic and as excited about it as they are. And we're coming up on harvest. And that's kind of the one funny thing for me is a lot of people think that any time of year when they show up, the grapes are being picked. But it is a plant. And so it's like if you had an apple tree in your backyard, it's once a year that they come on. So this is just about time for harvest to get started. Some of the vineyards that plant maybe Chardonnay or Gewurztraminer that's going into sparkling wine, those are already starting to be harvested. And then in the next 4 or 5 weeks, depending upon the weather every day and how the fruit is ripening. But the end of August, all of September, and maybe a little bit of October, that's when the grapes are being harvested. And that is a thrilling time to be here because everyone is excited about it. The vineyard people are excited about it. The tasting room staff are excited about it. You know, the visitors that come to the area love it. You can smell it in the air because it's, you know, there's 400 wineries here in Sonoma County. So wow. There's a lot of grapes being harvested. It's a really exciting thing to be a part of. You know, there's so much anticipation because they are farmers. They're excited every year. It's not like it's old hat and they don't care anymore and they've done it 10 times. It's like, no, every year something new happens and it's always exciting.
And do you find for people who are traveling to your area during the harvest time, are there special like events that are happening that make this really kind of a tourist friendly time?
I think what's exciting if you do come right now is no matter what winery you go to, you're going to see gondolas and trucks pulling into the winery to unload grapes. And so even if there is no special tour, you're just going to see what's going on and you're going to see the activity. And then the wineries that are able to offer tours will get you back there so you can see grapes being unloaded and grapes going up through the little conveyor to be going to the crusher. So, you know, there's definitely a lot of those kinds of things you can see. And then there are certainly wineries who do special maybe blending seminars during this time of year and so people can get a little hands-on experience. And there's definitely educational types of tasting experiences that people can check out.
Can you describe for our listeners the landscape of Sonoma when you're painting this picture with the wineries and being sort of an agricultural community? What does Sonoma County look like?
Well, I've never been there personally, but everyone says it looks like Italy. Everyone says it looks like Italy. I've never been to Italy.
Oh, I see. And, I always thought you were making a joke that you've never been to Sonoma County. I was going to say, Beth, wait a minute.
I've never been to Italy. And okay. That's what everyone says it reminds them from. And there are so many Italian families that settled here in Sonoma County. And apparently that was sort of the draw. Reminds them of Tuscany. Lots of rolling hills. And we have what we represent are Alexander Valley, Dry Creek Valley, and Russian River Valley. So, you know, that kind of explains there are hillsides and valleys in each of those areas. And the Russian River runs through the area, and then there's lots of smaller creeks that run through those areas. It's pretty much any place where you can pull over and park, you can look up and just see vistas of rolling vineyards. It's really beautiful. It's just so beautiful. I mean, when my kids were littler and we first moved to the area about 30 years ago, you know, as a mom, I'd have those days where I think, oh my God, I have to get out of the house. And I could just get in the car and take a drive from Healdsburg out through Alexander Valley and loop around and come back to Healdsburg. By then, you feel like a whole new person because the views and the vistas and the vineyards, it's just spectacular.
It sounds gorgeous. I've actually had the privilege of being there, of visiting Sonoma County, so I know how beautiful it is. And I think that I'm wondering, do you meet a lot of people where it's like kind of, you know, using the popular hashtag, like, is this bucket list travel for people to come and visit Sonoma County?
I think it is. I mean, we definitely have people who are super interested in wine and have read about certain wineries and want to see that. And then there are definitely people who it is just a bucket list thing. They might not even be super wine savvy, but they want to go to wine country. And they've heard that Sonoma County is very laid back and farmer centric. And they, you know, that's where they want to come. When you have a lot of small wineries, so often when you go into the taste room, it is going to be the winery owner or the winemaker that's going to be there pouring wine. There's no big tour buses that come through. You're not going to be herded in with 50 other people. It's a real personal, intimate experience when you come tasting here. And, you know, an opportunity then to really ask questions and, you know, to learn something.
That sounds so cool. It sounds like such a great way for people to enjoy an area and really to get that wine experience. That sounds really neat.
Yeah. So when I talked to you about solo travelers, I thought, you know, what would I do if I were here by myself? What would be the easiest way to get around? And I have some good suggestions.
Ooh,
are you ready for some suggestions?
Yes, please.
When we talked, we thought maybe we'd have 3 days, and I came up with actually 4 ideas
because,
you know,
good.
I'm trying to be the overachiever.
Our listeners will thank you for it.
There's a company locally called Platypus Tours, and they have been around for about 20 years. And Platypus Tours is a great option for someone traveling alone who wants to meet up with a group. So Platypus has a bus that holds about 20 people. And I think most of their tours, they end up with about 12 or 14. But it's just a mix of people, whoever wants to go on a tour that day. So that way, you don't have to drive yourself. You meet at whatever their location is. And you pick the tour if you want to go to Dry Creek Valley or Alexander Valley. But they have maybe 4 or 5 stops lined up. They have a lunch included. And that way, you don't have to think about it. You're just transportation is provided and you're meeting some other people. And I think that they have drivers who've been doing it for so many years. They're super knowledgeable of the area. They're knowledgeable of wine making and vineyard management. So you get a lot of information from them. So I think Platypus Tours is great. And then I also think for another option, if you want to be with a group of people, is Getaway Adventures. And Getaway Adventures have also been doing tours here for about 25 years, and they can do a cycling tour. And so you meet at one spot and they provide you with the bicycle and the helmet and everything that you need. They usually do 4 wineries in one day. And then one of the wineries, they provide lunch also. And they just do this really great, you know, very Sonoma County cheese and charcuterie board and, you know, with wine at your lunch. And I feel like it's just super fun. And again, they combine people. So if you're by yourself, that's great. You're going to maybe be in a group of 6 other people riding bikes or 10 other people riding bikes. And their hosts are super outdoor adventure-y kind of people who love wine tasting and, you know, love sharing what they know about the area also. So I think those are both super good ideas if you want to meet up with other people. And then if you're a solo traveler and you're happy just to be on your own, there's a company called Wine Cube Tours. And Raymond Rolander is the owner. And I've known Raymond for probably 20 years. And he is also so knowledgeable of winemaking and vineyard management. He worked in wineries for probably 10 years before he started his touring business. So if you went with Raymond, you can tell him what you want to see, or you can just leave it up to him. And he would do the same thing. He would arrange 4 or 5 stops for you, maybe swing you by like the Dry Creek General Store or Jimtown Store, one of those cool kind of rustic-y restaurants that we have out in the valleys. So you could have some lunch, or he could pack a picnic and take it to a winery for you. So those are both great options. And then another fun option is if you stayed in the town of Healdsburg, one whole day you could do without a car, without a driver, you would just wander around the town of Healdsburg. We have about 20 tasting rooms that are all within walking distance. And I would start my day there with the Savor Healdsburg food tours.
Ooh.
And some of your listeners may have already done food tours. Like every major city in the country or in the really all over seems to have these food tours. And she has 5 stops in a day, and you would just walk around the Healdsburg Square and you stop at, I think she has 3 restaurants and 2 wineries. And at each one, you get, you know, three or four bites of food, which is like whatever their signature dishes are. And then at the wineries, maybe four or five wines. And it's all within walking distance. So you could do that in the morning and then have the rest of the afternoon to just, you know, wander on your own. And the town of Healdsburg, there's great bookstores, there's great restaurants, they get all those tasting rooms, so you could kind of make a day of it, you know, on your own. Then my fourth option, if you did want to just get a rental car and take care of yourself, and I would not suggest trying to do Uber here, because once you get out in any of the valleys, there really is very sketchy cell service. So I do have people who say, well, I'm just going to Uber. And I think, well, there's not a lot of drivers. And if you do get them, you know, it's going to be some time. So that's not an optimum. But if you had a rental car, I love going out to Dry Creek Valley. And one of our members is Trattori Farms. And Trattori Farms really specializes in Rhone varietals, which some people may not be as familiar with, which I think if you're going to go wine tasting, it's fun to taste wines that maybe you don't know. So they have Viognier and Roussanne and Moussa, just different varietals that you might not know. So I would definitely go to Trattori Farms. They also make fantastic olive oil, and they have an olive oil press on site. So they offer a tour that's called Get Your Boots Dirty Tour. And you just jump on this little tram thing that they drive you all over the vineyards. You get to go down to see the olive oil mill at work. You go through the cellar of the winery and, you know, taste the olive oil, taste the wines. And I have yet to take someone to Trattori Farms who hasn't walked out on the back patio and just had their mind blown by the view. It is amazing. Even as much as I've lived here and seen some beautiful views, that's still the one that every time I go, just takes my breath away. It sits up kind of high above Dry Creek Valley, and you can just see so far in every direction. And they have the olive orchard on site also. So there's the vineyards, there's the olive trees. It's beautiful. Right down the street after Trattori Farms is Ferrari Carano. And some people may be familiar with Ferrari Carano. They make really elegant wines, and they have a beautiful garden that you can walk through on your own with sort of vintage roses. And all the roses were planted based on their scent. So really, you can kind of almost smell your way to where that garden is when you get out of the car. It's spectacular. Like I said, I like to do a lot of different things in one day. I would do the olive oil press, then I would go see the gardens, and then taste the wines at Ferrari Carano. For lunch, there's a very funky old store called the Dry Creek General Store that is right on the main street, or the main road, Dry Creek Road. That store was built in the late 1800s, and it's owned by the Gallo family now. It's cool because they haven't really done anything to refurbish it. It's just still a funky old general store, but they have great sandwiches, and they have a huge porch that lines the whole front of the building. So you can, I mean, the perfect day is to get your sandwich and then just sit on that porch and just watch. Watch the people, watch the traffic. You're sitting across from vineyards. It's spectacular. So I'd like to do that. And then at the end of the day, I'd head back into Healdsburg and go to Simi Winery. The Simi is actually one of the oldest working wineries in Sonoma County. And they have a beautiful tour that you can do there also if you want to do a winery tour and hear some of the history of Simi Winery. It's surrounded by redwood trees also, so it's a really more in town, but it's still surrounded by redwoods. It's like the winery's been there so long, the town has been built around it, so to speak. Wow. So, you know, it's a beautiful spot. And then you'd be back in Healdsburg is where you'd be ending. So then there's lots of restaurants to choose from. So those are all great options.
Well, first of all, I have to just have to say, no fair. You've given us, like, now I was thinking I'm going to be biking. I'm going to be going on the food tour. I'm going to do it all.
Well, there's so many things. That's how I end up feeling when I start putting this down on paper for somebody. I think, oh, my God, I want to do this. Why don't I get to go do this?
But you kind of do. I mean, don't you get to experience? You get to experience some of this here.
Every once in a while, we get to go out. We have a field trip day.
That sounds really fun. And you know what I was also thinking, too, as you were mentioning the food tour and the restaurants, is that that's one of the nice natural benefits of wine tourism is with what, you know, once you have wine, the food comes along, or, you know, they have sort of a nice reciprocal relationship. So you get phenomenal restaurants wherever you have wine thriving.
Oh, yeah. And there's such a great relationship between the chefs and the winemakers. I mean, they seem to all be friends, and they're always constantly sharing ideas and sharing recipes. And there's actually one of the wineries that's way out in Dry Creek has probably 10 huge garden beds. Each garden bed is a different chef in town who specifically asks for certain types of kind of off the beaten track veggies that they'd like to try and experiment with. So there's a lot of that that goes on. It is very much reciprocal.
Yeah.
You do for them, they do for you. It's cool.
I want to ask you one question before we, those are all amazing suggestions. And I did notice when you were talking about the tours and having other drivers, and we were just joking about the Uber or lack thereof. One of the things we always talk about on solo travel, we know our listeners are very, and solo travelers are keen about safety. That's often a very, right. The top concern that people have about traveling solo. And we frequently talk on Solo Travel Talk about alcohol and being right. really responsible with alcohol when you're a solo traveler, just for that safety concern. Do you have any thoughts about alcohol, since this is like a wine-focused travel? Any thoughts about safety in terms of alcohol?
I drive when I take my friends, and I'm the driver. And what I do is I just really pick and choose. If a winery has 6 wines for tasting and there's one that I've never heard of, I might just try that one, or I might just try 2. And wineries have on every counter, they have what they call their dump bucket. And they really want you to take a sip of the wine, maybe take 2 sips, and then dump out what's left in your glass. You're really not expected to drink, you know, they usually pour 1-ounce pours. So you're not expected to drink at all. And it's not insulting if you dump it out. That's responsible if you dump it out. It is self-management. You can't just taste 6 wines at every winery you go to and think that you're going to be okay. 4 or 5 tastes is a glass of wine. And so you have to keep that in mind as you're going and kind of pick and choose. That's why it is good to go with someone like Platypus Tours, or hire the individual driver, the Wine Cube Tour, someone like that. And that's why walking around Healdsburg is a great option. I mean, it's definitely an issue, but it's an issue that hopefully people understand they're tasting. And the wineries, you know, they all have a permit to pour samples. And the point is to pour samples for you to make a good buying decision and not drinking for the fun of it. It's like, I'm going to taste these 4 wines because hopefully I'm going to, you know, I'm looking for some Viognier. I'm looking for some Chardonnay. I'm going to taste a couple throughout the day and see which one I want to buy. Is that helpful?
Oh, that's really helpful. And also, it's like a good reminder. This is a wine tasting tour. This is not a wine crawl.
Right. And that's why, we really stay away from saying that. And we try to stay away from saying, you know, it's a party. Come party with us. Mm. Because we really don't want that atmosphere. The wineries don't want that atmosphere. I mean, nobody that's working in a tasting room all day wants to wait on people who have too much to drink. And, you know, they all go through training to not overserve people and to respectfully decline serving anyone who they think has had too much to taste that day. So it really is up to each person to monitor themselves and just taste responsibly. And gosh, here in California, it's going to cost you about $10,000 if you make that mistake and overdrink and get stopped. So it's a mistake you don't want to make. Drink responsibly, taste responsibly.
It sounds like from all the variety of the tours that you were talking about, there are people who are providing that service. There's really no excuse not to have that planned ahead.
Right. And if you went to Tory Farms by chance and you're going to taste their wines, you might taste some wines one wine when you're out in the vineyard, and then one wine when you're in the olive oil press, and then one wine when you're up in the taste room. So that might be a 2-hour time period and you've tasted 2 or 3 tastes of wine. So, you know, that should be fine. And then you're drinking water and hopefully you're having something to eat. That's really what's important, food and water in between.
Now, let's get to the fun stuff. You are the co-host of an award-winning podcast. Tell us about The Wine Road.
That's so funny. We always try to say that to my board of directors. Everyone, it's award-winning. So, yeah, we represent 200 wineries and 50 lodgings here in Northern Sonoma County. And our podcast is just wineroadpodcast.com. You can find the website there. And we really make it very travel-centric. We usually have a wine of the day, and then we have a wine book that we've reviewed, and maybe a new fun wine item. And then we try to have guests on that are either a winemaker. We've had people here who are the director of the performing arts centers in Sonoma County. So anything that we think could help a traveler, you know, make their plans. We also have some 3-day itineraries that we have on there. So we've had 3 days in Healdsburg or 3 days in Sebastopol or, you know, different areas. So we really try to make it a great travel resource. And we have a lot of fun. I have a co-host, Marcy Gordon, and we have a lot of outtakes.
Some of our outtakes are become intakes, and if they're good enough, right?
Yes, yes, that's right. We're like, oh, we got to keep that in.
Yeah, that's good pod, as we say.
Exactly, good pod.
Before we close out here, you're part of a wine association. You're the executive director of a wine association. Do you think that travelers, do they kind of overlook associations as being a resource when they're planning their trip?
Well, I think like in this area, there is a Sonoma County Vintners, which is, you know, more of a trade group for the wineries. But we have always really been more for consumers. We put on three huge annual wine events. Our barrel tasting this March will be the 42nd year for barrel tasting. So I think consumers do know us, and we have a great free, and we still print a printed map, and we go through about 400,000 of them a year.
Oh my gosh.
So people, even though you're using, you know, your Google directions and you can have an app for maps, I think people still like when they travel to have a printed map that they can circle things and write on and, you know, have a little memento. So we're definitely a great connection for consumers. We also have a concierge service that is free. So if someone were coming to the area, right on our homepage of wineroad.com, you can click on the concierge button and tell us, you know, what you're interested in. If it is just a bucket list trip, or if you are just a Pinot Noir fanatic and you want to go there, or somebody's 50th birthday party that you're planning, and we can kind of help you craft an itinerary and help you pick and choose the best places for what you're looking for. I think if you're not familiar with the area and we tell you that there's 200 wineries, that's really not very helpful. It's really just overwhelming. And where do you begin?
Yeah.
So, you know, our concierge service, we try to help with that.
Well, we always
hopefully people check us out.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and for two things. One, our listeners know I am a link making machine, so I will put links to everything that you talked about into the show notes so everybody can see that. And we are big advocates of concierge service. If there's something that says concierge, we will be taking advantage of it. So our
I think that's the way to go.
Yeah, definitely. That's wonderful. Well, Beth, is there anything I didn't ask that you would like to include here?
I think you got it. I think I talked and talked.
Yeah.
This was so fun.
Yeah, it was really good. And so everybody should know we've got wineroad.com and wineroadpodcast.com. That we'll just say those again. And I'll put the links in the show notes. Thank you so much, Beth, for being on Solo Travel Talk.
Thank you. It was fun.
Listeners, I did my very best to have all the links ready for you in the show notes. You can go to astridtravel.com/podcast and find this current podcast episode, and all those links, that all those great things that Beth was talking about will be there. While you're at astridtravel.com, you can also get Astrid's amazing, comprehensive, complimentary packing list. Astrid wants your packing to be just a little bit less stressful. That's why she created the packing list. You can go ahead and put in your email and get that packing list right away. Thanks again to Beth Costa for being on Solo Travel Talk this week. This podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spotify, all of the finer places that podcasts can be found. Be sure to check out The Wine Road to hear all things wine, Sonoma County, and to hear a little bit more from Beth and her co-host, Marcy. Thank you so much for listening, everybody, here on Solo Travel Talk. We look forward to seeing you next week. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Solo Travel Talk. Follow Astrid on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. To learn more about Astrid or Solo Travel Advisors, visit our website, astridtravel.com.